We're all on a journey, and we're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able,
say amen.
If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire,
say amen.
Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen.
Sometimes through the darkness, it gets hard to see, but be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember,
the battle is the Lord's.
If there's
anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again, just say amen. Joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again, just say amen.
Just say
how many of you can say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Seen it over and over again. God has shown Himself faithful. God is faithful. And the book of Lamentations is proclaimed, great is thy faithfulness. I'm glad that I know something about the faithfulness of God. I've let people down. You've let people down, but God has never let anyone down. God is faithful, and I'm thankful that I've experienced that, and I'm thankful for the good singing today. Every song has been a blessing to my heart, and I'm thankful for good, godly singing. Today I'm going to preach a message to you that if I had my choice, I'd probably preach something else. I love preaching the Bible. And I'm not saying that I'm apologizing for what I'm going to preach. Not at all. It's God's Word. But there's some things, if I'm honest, and I want to be, that I prefer preaching than others. I prefer preaching on the second coming of Christ. That's one of my favorite studies in the Bible, because Jesus is coming back. And I would prefer preaching that. And there's other things in the Scripture that I love studying and preaching about, the miracles of the Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry when He was here. Some of the greatest teachings and some of the most encouragement that I get in my personal study is when I study the miracles of the Lord Jesus, the parables of the Lord as well. Today I'm going to talk with you about a subject that must be discussed. It's not very pleasant, but it must be discussed because it's God's Word. Two, because it's relevant in the day in which we live, more so than any other time in my lifetime. It's not new. It's not something that's just come about. It's been around, well, since the dawning of time, as we shall see. But I want to talk to you about how to spot false teachers. They're everywhere. They're abounding. Jesus warned that this time would come. And as a under-shepherd of this flock, I have a responsibility to warn you, to tell you what the Bible says about people who will teach damnable heresies, people who will deny the truths that the Word of God teach us, people that have gone astray from the teaching of the Word of God, that have gone astray from the Word of God itself. And so I want to talk with you about that this morning. See, the Word of God is final authority. God's Word is final authority. Now, the preacher's Word is not final authority. Now, if the preacher's preaching the Word, that's final authority, because the Word of God is final authority. God's Word endureth forever. It shall ever stand, brethren. Heaven and earth shall pass away, Jesus said, but My words shall not pass away. And so this morning I want to, from the Bible, talk with you about the dangers of false teaching. Now, if people knew what they were sitting under and what they were listening to and following was false teaching, a high, very high percentage of them would not follow that teaching. There's a deception involved. I'm going to talk with you about three things from this passage of Scripture that was read in your hearing out of the Word of God about false teaching. The first thing I want to talk to you about is the fact that they have defected. The defection. They've gone away. We call that apostasy. When people have veered from the truth, when they have gone away from the truth. Now, I'm not talking about preferences, so I want you to listen to me now. I'm not talking about preferences, and I'm not talking about ideologies. I'm not talking about the way that people prefer this or that. I'm talking about biblical teaching. When people have defected, when they have apostatized, when they have walked away, when they have turned away from that, and they began to replace it with the traditions or with the teachings of men. Number two, not only am I going to talk to you out of the Scripture about their defection, but their deception. The deception that they use to get many people to follow them. Look, if you would, in verse number 2 of 2 Peter chapter 2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. Well, we're going to look at some other Scripture that supports that and really places an emphasis on there will be a great falling away, and many, many people, more than our minds can fathom, are already, and will be more people, many more people will begin to follow these false teachings and these false teachers. I have been talking the last couple of services in Wednesday night, and then again a little bit this morning in our Sunday school class, the importance of the Bible. Because, see, the Bible is what determines what is right and what is wrong. Amen. You don't determine what is right and what is wrong. I don't determine what is right and what is wrong. I make a choice and a decision upon what the Bible teaches if I'm going to follow what is right and what is wrong. But God has stated what is right and what is wrong. Not the church, not the preacher, not you. But God Himself has said what is right and what is wrong. And so there's the defection, then there's the deception, and then finally we'll talk about the destruction. All of this is leading to a great destruction, and the Scripture speaks about it. Before we get started, I want to show you that though we are living in these days, Christ, as well as the apostles, said this time was coming. Watch what Peter said here in 2 Peter chapter 2, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of scriptures. We'll turn back to 2 Peter and just dig right here in these first few verses, and I believe that God's going to give us some insight and some help to where we can spot false teachers, all right? Notice, if you would, what Peter said, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were, you see that? But there were, and then look, if you would, right in the middle, even as there shall be. You see that? But there were, even as there shall be. In other words, there were false prophets. Peter said, this is not something new. There were false prophets in the old time. In the past, there were false prophets. And he said, and they're going to be false teachers. And Jesus said, and I want you to take and turn if you would. Jesus said in Matthew, would you turn to Matthew? Now hold your place here, we're coming back. But in Matthew, in chapter number 24, we'll look at some scripture. While you're turning there, I felt led of God. I've been going through the epistle of 2 Peter on Wednesday nights. And God just definitely impressed upon my heart that He wanted me to switch that study to Sunday morning. We're going to study right on through 2 Peter. As I mentioned, Wednesday night we'll begin a study, the Lord willing, and Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, out of the book of Leviticus. And so I pray that you'd be here. You need to hear the teaching out of the book of Leviticus. Tonight we'll continue our study, the Lord willing, the book of Numbers. We want to study the whole counsel of God. I want to know everything that God said. Amen? Amen. Want to study it. So, while I have my favorite passages, and I spoke to you about that earlier, that I like to read, I like to preach on, I want to be faithful to study and preach the whole counsel of God. We need to know what thus saith the Lord, not just a portion of it, but God gave us 66 books for a reason. If God only wanted us to study 30, He'd have gave us 30 books. God wants us to know all of it, brethren. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus made a statement about what we're going to talk about this morning. And so if you'll bear with me just for a moment, we'll get a little bit of a slow start, but then we're going to plow deep. All right? So I want you to watch. Matthew 24, look if you would in verse number 11. Matthew 24, verse number 11. This is what's called the Mount Olivet Discourse. And the Lord Jesus is answering a question that was asked Him, when shall be the sign of thy coming? And He began to elaborate on some things that must take place before He comes. And in that elaboration, in verse number 11, He said, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Now, Jesus said that. And it has happened, it is happening, and it's going to continue to happen. So, well, they won't deceive me, preacher. Well, if you'll stay true to the Word of God, it'll be much more difficult to deceive you. But for those of you who think, well, I'll just read a verse of Scripture a day and I won't be deceived, you're already deceived. For those who think, well, I'll just go to church on a hit and a miss, or I'll just practice my Christianity part-time and I won't be deceived, you're already deceived. For those who think that it's not important to read the Bible and to listen to Bible preaching, and that you're going to make it without being deceived, you're already a prime candidate to be deceived. And so I want to help you. I don't want to in any way hinder you. I want to help you this morning to understand the importance of not falling into deception. Many, many churches that started out true have apostatized. Many, many schools, Christian colleges, Christian families that started out doing the right thing, following God, serving Jesus, have turned aside. Why? Well, I think there's a number of reasons why, but the major reason why is they've been deceived. They have followed and began to follow false teachings. And Jesus said in the last days, and brethren, listen, I don't have to convince you. If you're just a casual follower of current events and a casual reader of the Word of God, you already know we're living in the last days. These days in which we live are perilous times just prior to Jesus coming again. And if it were possible, the very elect would be deceived. And so he said here in verse number 11 of Matthew 24, there shall be many false prophets. Not a handful. Many. Many. Some of them are Baptists. Oh, no, wait a minute, preacher. I'm a Baptist. Don't you say anything about Baptists. I'm a Baptist too. But I'm a realist. And so we have to quit dividing this up by denomination and people groups. We have to understand there's false prophets, false teachers among all of us. We have to be cautious. You can't let your guard down. Notice what he said in Matthew chapter number 7. In Matthew chapter 7, would you turn there just for a moment? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus also made this statement. Jesus made this statement. He said, I want you to beware. Look at verse number 15. He said, beware. Take note. Pay attention. Beware is what he's saying. So when he says beware, he's saying take note. Pay attention of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Look good, sound good, but they're deceivers. Tote the Bible, right? Speak enough truth to get you to listen, but enough error to lead you astray. Beware. Beware. Don't get lax. Don't get comfortable in your Christianity. Don't think that, well, I don't need my Bible. I'll just listen to the preacher. I won't read my Bible. We got a preacher who preaches the Bible, and that'll be my Bible for the week. Don't you ever get to that place. You say, well, preacher, we trust you. Well, I appreciate the backing of the people of Fellowship Baptist Church, but I'm going to tell you something. Always bring your Bible and always prove what's preached from this pulpit from the Word of God. Amen. Don't you ever get lax in that area. You know how people get led astray? They get confident and they get comfortable with the person they're following to where they think, well, this person will never do us wrong. This person would never lead us astray. Listen, while I would appreciate that backing from the people, I want you to do what an old president used to say, trust but verify. Verify it from the Word of God. If God doesn't say it, then you need to verify it. And even if the preacher says it, if a man standing from this pulpit right here, which I guard, brethren, I guard it by the grace of God, I want what comes from this pulpit to be Bible truth. However, don't you ever get to the place where you feel like, well, we don't need our Bible. The preacher's going to preach, and so we'll just take what he says. Prove all things from the Word of God. One other scripture as we'll get back to 2 Peter, Acts chapter number 20. If you'll turn there, Acts chapter number 20, we find where Paul has been in Ephesus. And he's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to leave Ephesus. And as he's getting ready to leave, he calls the elders together and he says, I've got a warning that I want to give unto you. And so he said in Acts chapter number 20, notice if you would in verse number 29. Acts chapter 20, verse 29. This was right at the dawning of the church age. So as I talk to you this morning, I don't want anyone to sit here and say, boy, I tell you, these last 20 years have really brought about false teaching. Well, I think it's been an increase of false teaching. But to think that this just began to happen 20, 25, 30 years ago is really an ignorance to what the Word of God teaches. There have always been wolves in sheep's clothing. There have always been false teachers trying to lead God's people astray, and there always will be. And for that purpose, we as God's people need to stay focused, and we need to stay in the Word. Because the greatest way that you're going to and that I'm going to identify error is to be familiar with truth. Now, I've used this illustration many times, and those of you who work with the bank and with money know that the greatest way to identify a counterfeit is not to study the counterfeit, but to study the truth. Because there's many counterfeits, and you may not be able to get every little bit and piece of every piece of counterfeit, but when you study the truth, it will reveal all the counterfeits. And so, as we shall see in 2 Peter, Peter in chapter 1, he hammers the truth. Amen. He lays down the truth. This is the way you get saved. This is the only way you can get saved. This is what happens when you get saved. The divine nature of God comes in you when you get saved. You have the promises of God when you get saved. You can only get saved in the person of Jesus Christ. He hammers it down. Truth, truth, truth. Then in chapter 2, he said, now I want to tell you about the false. I've told you the truth. I've stood it up as a standard to how you can identify the false. Here in Acts, Paul was among these people in Ephesus, and as he's getting ready to leave, look if you would in Acts chapter 20, verse number 29. He said, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Today, brethren, I have a sad heart as I read over and over again of churches that are divided and split and broken and fractured because of false teaching and because of false handling of the Word of God. It ought to sadden our hearts. Churches splintering and falling apart, dying on the vine because of false teaching and people moving away from the life teaching of this book. Paul said they're going to come in and they're not going to spare. He said in verse number 30, look at it. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. As we go back to 2 Peter chapter number 2, I want to tell you that as your pastor, I'm constantly looking. I'm constantly holding the Bible up as a standard. That's how we judge things, by the Word of God. Say, preacher, do you know who's here? Do you watch? I watch. By the way, that's my responsibility. If you'll notice and write this verse down in 2 Peter, Corinthians chapter 11, Paul said, I'm jealous over you. Paul was a jealous preacher over the flock. Paul, he guarded that flock. See, I don't just let anybody come in here and speak. Amen. We don't just allow folks to come in and sing. Amen. We don't just sell anything from the bookstore. Amen. It's got to be proved and run through this book right here. Amen. We all ought to have guidelines of what we will and will not do and listen to and what we will adhere to. Paul said here, he said, they're coming. And he said, they're not going to spare the flock. They're going to ravage you. And they're going to use you up. Turn back to 2 Peter and let's get into the teaching here. And I'm going to give you three quick things. All right, number one, the defection. Watch it carefully. The defection. Notice the manner in which he says in chapter number 2, verse number 1. Are you there? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Look at how he said this. He said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Here's their method. Who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Here's how they defect. They do it privately. You know what that word means? Alongside of. They come in privately. They come in the back door. They sit alongside of. They befriend and they act like they're a friend of the gospel of grace and a friend of the church of Jesus Christ. And they have a personal agenda in mind. And that agenda is to gather a following so that they can make merchandise of you, as we shall see later. But all they have really in mind is their self. Their self. See, they don't care about the flock. They're hirelings. Listen to me now. The Bible teaches this. They're hirelings. All they're concerned about is, what can you do for me? You beware of people like that. I believe a church ought to take care of their leaders. Amen. I thank God for the way Fellowship Baptist Church takes care of me. But I'm not in this for the money. And if I were, you need to get rid of me. Any man that'll preach for money ain't worth a preach. Amen. I wouldn't listen to him preach. I wouldn't walk across the street to hear a man preach just for money. We need Spirit-filled men that'll stand up in the power of the Holy Spirit and preach what thus saith the Lord. Amen. And he said here, he said, you watch out. He said, they'll come to you and they'll come privily. They'll try to sneak in. Hold your hand here in the book of 2 Peter and turn just a few pages back to the book of Jude. And Jude says something that's very interesting. Jude, just a couple of pages back in Jude, in verse number 4. There's only one chapter in Jude. And if you look in verse number 4, Jude is kind of a contemporary, it's kind of a commentary almost, Jude to 2 Peter and 2 Peter to Jude. And he said here in verse number 4, he said, these are certain men. He said, for there are certain men, look at that next word, crept in unawares. You say, preacher, I could spot a false prophet a mile away. Don't think so. Don't think so. They'll be sitting right in there among you. You say, well, I'm going to get suspicious of everybody in the church. Now, don't do that. Just keep your guard up. Amen. Just keep your Bible open. Just stay in fellowship with God. God will reveal it, you see. You won't have to go searching it out. You won't have to be a part of the secret agency of the FBC. Amen. I didn't say the FBI. I said the FBC. You know, there's some of those. You won't have to do that. God will point them out. God will expose them. That's right. Because when you line it up against truth, they won't line up. They always have a different way. We're going to talk about that. So you find here, he said in verse number 4 of Jude, he said, they've crept in unawares. You won't know it. They've got a different agenda. They've got, as we go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, all they have in mind is their self. Their self. What they can gain from it. What can you do for me? It's not how can I serve you. Can I tell you what a true leader is? A true leader is a servant. Amen. Jesus said, you want to be the highest? You want to be the top? You want to be the one who's up here? Then humble yourself. You want to be first? Then become last. You want to be a good servant of Jesus Christ? Serve others. Serve them. Don't ask them to serve you. You serve them. God honors that. When Jesus Christ came, he did not come to be served. He came to serve. And all those that emulate and follow his footsteps will serve others. So he said, first of all, there's a method. There's a method in which they use, and it's privily. They come in alongside. There's sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing. Notice what else he said. Not only is it their method, but it's their message. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. He said, they come in privily, and they bring in, look at that word, damnable heresies. You know what a heresy is? It's something that's based upon just that, hearsay. They won't tell you what the Bible says, they'll tell you what they think. Well, I'm going to tell you how I feel. Not really interested in how you feel. Not when it comes to preaching time. Somebody say amen. See, that's our problem. We've quit preaching the Bible. We've quit getting down and studying the Bible, and we begin to tell stories, experiences. I'm not interested in that. If I wanted to know your stories and experiences, I'd ask you to write a book, and I'd read it. Now, I'm not opposed to people giving an occasional testimony of their story and experience, but when it comes to preaching time, we need to spend most of our time in this book right here. What saith the Scriptures? What did God say? Doing it just like we're doing right here, breaking it down, brethren. There have been men in the past, years and years in the past, leading up to this day, that done this very thing. Open up the Word of God and see what saith the Scriptures. What did God say? God said there were false prophets and there's going to be false teachers among you. He said you better watch them. They have a way about going to things. If you look at it in verse number 1, he said they come in privately. All right, they're private. They crept in unawares. You won't notice them because they look like a sheep, but inwardly, they're ravening wolves. He said, not only their method, he said, but their message is different. What is their message? He said, their message is damnable heresies. It's hearsay. It's not what saith the Scriptures. It's not what God said. It's what they think, what I believe, how I feel. We're not interested in that. I want to know what God said. You want to spot a false teacher? He will spend very little, if any, time telling you what God said. He'll always be telling you what he thinks. Brethren, we all have opinions. You didn't come here today to hear my opinion. I just know. That's not why you're here. And so therefore, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to tell you what God said. And God said right here in the scripture, cannot be denied. In verse number 1, he said the thieves that come in, they come in privily or privately, is what that word means, and they bring in damnable heresies. It's damning. It kills a church. A Bible that will not preach, a church that will not preach the Bible is doomed to die. It's doomed to die, spiritually now. You can still get a bunch of people to come, but that doesn't mean it's alive. Not only did he say they did it with their manner, he said they did it with their message, and not only did he say, look at it now, not only did he say in verse number 1 that they brought in damnable heresies, notice what else he said. They deny the Lord that bought them. It's pretty stout. What do you mean, preacher? They deny the Lord, denying even the Lord that bought them. They deny his person and his work. You know, there's two things about Jesus that we need to be very, very concerned about. His person and his work. Amen. You need to know about those things. What do you mean? I mean his person. Can I tell you that there are people who say they're saved, who say they're conservative, who say that they're teaching the Bible, and they will tell you that Jesus was not born of a virgin? They're a false teacher. Amen. Well, now, preacher, they have a King James Bible. I don't care what they've got. They could have the original manuscripts. If they tell you that Jesus was not born of a virgin, they're a false teacher. Amen. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, the virgin-born Son of God. But they deny him. Is that what the Bible says? Denying even the Lord that bought them. They deny his person, the Lord, and then his work that bought them. You see that? They deny his person, the Lord, that bought them, his work. They deny his person, his virgin birth, that he is God in the flesh. You say, well, Jesus was a good man. He's more than a good man. He's God. He is God. You say, you mean he was God? No, I said he is God. Jesus is God in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness, 1 Timothy 3:16, that God was manifest in the flesh, his virgin birth. He's the virgin-born Son of God. His sinless life. Can I tell you, Jesus never sinned? They say, well, you know, Jesus was a good man. I think it was Brother North and I, we were having breakfast one day last week, and he said, you know, he said, I just, out of curiosity, I looked at just a little bit, and he said, when I say a little bit, preacher, that much, okay? This Jesus Christ superstar, and I had read some of it, and we began to talk about it. Can I tell you, that's blasphemy against God. Okay, it's blasphemy. Well, you know, Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene. Listen to me. You shut your mouth. That is blasphemy. That ought to make you indignant on the inside that somebody would say the sinless, spotless Son of God was involved in immorality. That ought to work up something in you that would make, listen, that would make you just angry on the inside at evil and wickedness. Jesus Christ is pure and spotless, Peter wrote, the Lamb of God. But you know what these people do? They come in and they make light of that. Well, you know, Jesus done this, and Jesus, he wasn't born of a virgin, and he's not perfect. Oh, yes, he is. I'm talking about the person. We could go on and on about the person, but then there's the work of the Lord. Notice what it says in verse number 1 here. They deny the Lord. That's the person that bought them. That's the work. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. They deny that he shed his blood. Several years ago, I read after a man, if I were to call his name, you'd know him. And I'm not going to get into this morning. But listen, I want you to know something. You be careful who you read after. This man made a statement, and he said that the blood of Jesus was not really that necessary. What? The only reason that any of us can have our sin forgiven is because Jesus shed his blood. He said, well, Jesus could have drowned and we could have went to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The only way we can have our sin forgiven is that Christ shed his life's blood. They come in and they say, well, you know, that's not really necessary. That's just these fundamentalists. That's just these Bible thumpers. That's just these Bible believers. They're just kind of on the edge. You just have to overlook them. And they take the major doctrine of the Scripture and they make light of it. Their defection. They go away. In their method. In their message. They go away. They walk away. They turn from what the church was built on, brethren. The statement that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This word right here is final authority in faith and practice in all that we should do as believers. And yet there are people who are saying it's not that necessary. I'll never forget one time Sharon and I had a family over, a young couple who had just gotten saved. And good folks, just gotten saved, excited. And she came, the young lady who had gotten saved came from a church background where there was just a lot of emotionalism. And so they came in and they were so excited to tell us, guess what? We went to a service last night, and I mean, man, it was so good. We didn't even need our Bible. And I looked at her just as stern and as straight, and I said, that's not good.
Right. Yeah.
She looked and said, well, it was, man, you could just feel it. I said, you better get more than something than a feel.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
You need truth.
Amen.
The truth's what's going to make you free. The truth's what's going to grow you in grace and knowledge. Truth, preaching, Bible. You do need your Bible. These folks will tell you, just leave your Bible at home and come on, let's have a shindig. We'll get the dry ice and the smoke out and the zip line and we'll just have us a boogie-woogie time in Jesus. Foolishness. Foolishness. So their defection. Second of all, their deception. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. I want to give you two things about their defection or deception. Number one, they deceive by their ways. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. That word pernicious is very interesting. It's destructive ways that come about through low lifestyles. In other words, just live any way you want. God doesn't mind. Man, you go sin as much as you want. Matter of fact, I read about a church a couple of weeks ago as I was studying along the lines of this message, and I read something. There's a church in Florida where when you go to Sunday school, they'll meet you at the front door and say, now, do you want the drinking or the non-drinking Sunday school? That is a disgrace. That's a disgrace. We have so lowered what worship truly is that so, listen, there's some people in the generation coming behind us, they don't know what worship is. We've made worship about everything except for what it really is. And that is giving glory and honor to the God of heaven. I don't care if you can jump and swing off of one of those lights up there. That doesn't mean you're worshiping God. That doesn't mean you're not either. Just so you know. Amen. You might shout amen louder than anyone in this building. That doesn't mean you're worshiping God, but it doesn't mean you're not either. You see, you worship from the heart. You worship from the heart. You give God the glory that's due His name. You tell God He's worthy and you worship Him and you show Him that He's worthy. And yet the Bible says here that many, look at it now, shall follow their pernicious ways. What does that mean? Low lifestyle, destructive lifestyle. Go out bar swinging, bar hopping on Saturday night, come into the church wanting to teach Sunday school on Sunday morning. No! That's not what this book teaches. God said, live holy. You say, preacher, God wants me to be happy. God wants you to be holy. You got mixed up. And when you're holy, God will make you happy. If you're saved, you'll never be happy until you get holy. Listen to me now. We have mixed and switched the message. There are those who say, God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. Make me happy, God. No, God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be holy. And God will make you holy. And when you get holy, God will make you happy. And you'll never be happy until you're holy. But there's no place like walking with God and having your sin forgiven and walking in the light as He is in the light. What a blessed way to live life. And it's nothing that we, listen, it's nothing that we can claim. It's all because of the grace of God. I want to make that very clear. But He said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Can I tell you, that false teaching always leads to false living. It does. Could you imagine? I know when I was in high school, there used to be a smoking and no smoking section in the little area, garden area of my school. There's churches now that have them. Smoking and no smoking. Brethren, there's people, I read this past week or week before last, where a young man, been saved a couple of years, felt like God had called him to preach, and someone from the music department invited him out and said, we'd like for you to come out with some of the folks that that have music at the church. This young man went out, and he met at their house, and man, there were all kinds of things going on. I mean, swingers, okay? Swapping, I'm not going to go in detail, but it stunned this guy. He left. And he wrote about this, and he went, and he told his pastor, and he said, Pastor, I'm not wanting to be a tattle here, but man, there's some things going on with that music department you might ought to check out. And he told him what happened, and his pastor said, well now, and I'm just going to use this name, okay? Well now, Bob, we were hoping that you had grown to the place to where you would understand that now. I hope I never grow that far. Amen. I don't ever want to grow to that place. People who think you can live swinging lifestyles, wear what you want, go where you want, do what you want, God doesn't care, it doesn't matter how you live. Can I tell you it does matter how you live? Look what the Bible says here. Look at it now. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Look at this next phrase. Don't miss it now. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, people say, you know what? I thought you were a Christian. I thought that church down there was a church. See, we've got people in our country so confused about what Christianity is. There used to be a day when you didn't have to really ask many people if they were a Christian. They just wore it. Christianity is not something you put on to come to church, brethren. Christianity is who you are. It's not what you do. Listen to me now. And yet there are people, and this is what this false teaching that has crept in, that says, you know what, Monday through Saturday, you're on your own. Now Sunday, well, you got to be different. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And the Bible says that when Christians live this way, notice it again, we're talking about a way here. When a Christian lives this way, here's their deception. Live any way you want, do anything you want, no accountability, God doesn't care. There's just, you do what you want, and just, if it feels good, do it. Now here's what Peter said in verse number 2. He said, by reason of whom? Those that follow their pernicious ways, and those who live that lifestyle, and those who live that way, the way of truth is evil spoken of. What I want to go down there to the church for? Those folks living below what I live. I'm living better than them. Amen? I won't cheat a man. At least I'm not a thief. Right? Amen. But false teaching says, well, you know, God's good and God's gracious and He'll just forgive. I'm glad God is good and I'm glad God is gracious and I'm glad that He forgives, but God has expectations of His children. Amen. The ways. Let's go to this one. The words. Look at verse number 3. So you see, they deceive through their ways. They tell you that it's okay. Isn't that what a lot of people want to hear? You know, I'd say there's probably been a time, let me just say this so that no one will get mixed up. I'd say there's probably a time in all of our lives that we want to hear somebody say that's okay. Right? What we want to hear and what we need to hear is two different things. What I need to hear is, that's not okay. And God's not okay with this. Right? So a lady comes to me and she says, Pastor, of course she's got her Bible with her, right? Pastor, I need to talk to you. Just 100% sure God wants me to leave my husband and children and be with my boyfriend. What am I supposed to say? Well, bless your heart. You know, I think you're right.
I think God does want you to leave your family and go with your boyfriend. Folks, what are people looking for in a preacher anymore? You know, just somebody who's going to tell us what we want to hear. I don't think Fellowship Baptist Church is this way, and I think there's plenty of churches that are not. But can I tell you, that's what a lot of people are looking for in a pastor. Pastor, would you just tell me what I want to hear? Would you just make me feel better? I want to be happy. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to have a guilty conscience. I don't want to feel shame. I don't want to have to deal with sin. I just want you to tell me that if it feels good and I want to do it, it's okay. You're not going to get that here as long as I'm the pastor. By the grace of God, I'm going to preach this book. Now, I'm going to love you, and I want to care for you, and I want to help you. I want to reach out to you, and if need be, and there's a fallen state, I want to try to help restore you. I do. But, brethren, there's just some things that are wrong. Wrong. We do understand. So somebody asked a question, is there anything wrong in America anymore? You know, it just seems like nothing's wrong anymore. Right? I mean, our college campuses are filling up with our young people who say, well, you know what? It's right to me, and that's all that matters. No, it's not. If God said it was wrong, that's all that matters. Whether it's right to you or not. And Peter said, you better watch out. There's going to come a group of people that's going to settle down in your church, and they're going to have this mindset. Many are going to follow their pernicious ways, and they're going to tell you, well, you better watch that old preacher. He's old-fashioned. You better believe I am. Amen. You better watch Odell Freeman. He's old school. Yes, I am. I believe in this old school book. Amen. I'm going to preach the Bible to you out of love, and I'm not going to back up on what God said is right and wrong. Now, I'm going to try to do it with compassion. But God knows, brethren, there's just some things that we've got to come clean with, whether it's in my life or yours. And I start with me. He said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. But then watch, if you would, he goes from ways to words. Look at verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words. See, that's how they get you. See, that word feigned, it's a very interesting word. It means manufactured. We get a word that we are very familiar with, hypocrite, from the same root of this word. Manufactured, insincere, tailor-made. In other words, let me tell you what you want to hear so I can get out of you what I want to have. Amen. See, I told you, these people are always looking out after themselves. So what are they going to do? Notice what he said now. Don't miss this. Verse number 3. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words, look at that next statement, make merchandise of you. Boy, I got me a good one here. Somebody I can just tell anything they want and they'll just keep it coming. Most preachers just want you to tell them how good they are and how great they are. I'm no different than you. I like to be told I'm appreciated. But if I don't from time to time make some of you mad, I get a little concerned. I don't work on making you mad. Some of you probably think I do, but I don't. I can just preach the Bible. That'll take care of it. Amen. Right. Amen. But I don't sit around trying to manufacture ways. Just say, how can I make this family angry? What can I do to upset this family? I just preach the Bible. The Spirit of God will take care of that. But he said, these people want to make merchandise out of you. They want to use you. They want to fleece you. Watch them false teachers now. That all they have in mind is their self. So we see their defection, the manner, and then the message. We see their deception, their ways, pernicious, low life, no boundaries. And then their words. He said here that they're feigned words because they treat you just like a piece of merchandise. Their feigned words, making merchandise of you. And then finally, their destruction. Now I'm going to preach a whole message on this, but not today, so don't get nervous. But I do want to show you something. There are times in my life, and I'm sure that if you serve God, and most of you, I don't know everyone's heart here, but I believe there's a group of people here who want to serve God with their life. That's part of the purpose that you're here today. But you know, there are times I wonder, when's God going to settle up with these people? You know, I got to tell you, there's a part of me, and you probably leave here now thinking different about me, but I'm just going to bear my soul with you and share what my heart is. I get sick and tired of these people that lie to people, lying to people, using the Word of God, lying to people for money. Sometimes I just like to... Yeah, that. You know, I can't even put it in words. It makes me angry. I would like to think it's a righteous indignation. I hope that it is. I hope I'm not sinning as I get angry. The Bible says be angry and sin not. I don't want to get to the place where I'm an old grumpy, hateful against people, even these people. I don't want to get that way, but I got to tell you, there's something in me, it bothers me when people use God's word, God's house, God's people to get what they want. You get sick and tired of these liberal apostates coming in to these schools that have sweat and prayed and built something, and then they slip in and take it the wrong direction. Hey, that makes me angry. You want your liberal institution? Go build you one. Don't take one that somebody's labored and sweat and bled and prayed and good godly people have given to, and now you come in and take it away. I don't like that. The Bible says here, and this is where we'll close. You say, preacher, is there anything positive out of this message? Well, I'm going to tell you something positive. All right? Their destruction. You say, is that positive? Well, watch what the Bible says. Look, if you would, in the latter part of verse number 3, it said, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And then he gives us three biblical illustrations of people that God said, enough is enough. The angels that sinned. What we call the antediluvian age, those that were living in the days of Noah before the flood. And then the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, God said, it's enough, and he did not spare them, and he overthrew them. But in the midst of that, notice verse number 7, he delivered just Lot. You may be sitting here today and say, preacher, I feel like I have been affected. It'll affect you. It will affect you. There's people sitting here today, listen, there's some that at one time you were on fire for God, but it's affected you. Notice verse 8. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. It affected him. It affected him. The false teaching, the sinful lifestyle, the setting aside the Bible and the way of God and thinking, I can do this, it affected him. It had an adverse, negative effect on him. And it brought him down. You say, preacher, I'm there. What can I do? Well, here's the positive news. Verse 9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver. See, God's not going to destroy you. God wants to deliver you. These false teachers, the Bible says their destruction's coming. But if you're saved in the grace of God, God wants to deliver you. God doesn't want you to get down to the latter part of your life and then say, I've made a mess, I've messed up. I want you to stand with me, and I want you to think now. Think with me. Don't leave thinking. Still think with me, all right? How many of you think that you could read the book of Genesis, and after you read the book of Genesis, you could say, yep, Lot was a righteous man. Is there anybody here think you could do that? I don't think anybody could. If we didn't have the book of 2 Peter, we would all read the book of Genesis and say, that Lot was a scoundrel. I mean, man went into the cave and committed incest with his daughters. Listen, dwelt among those people there, and it affected him. It affected him. Now, it'll affect you, and it'll affect me too. We need God to help us. God help us never get to the place where we think, you know what? I can do this. No, you can't. No, you can't. You need God's help. We need God's word. We have God's Holy Spirit. We need one another. We're to exhort one another. There's just times that somebody ought to walk up to the preacher and put his arm around and say, preacher, you look tired. Or preacher, you look like you're a little frustrated. Or preacher, I've noticed this. There's nothing wrong with that. I wouldn't be offended at you. And from time to time, we've got some good men in the church who have done that. And they'll tell you, I'm not offended at that. But don't you get offended when I do it to you. Or when someone else does it to you. We need that from one another. We need that from one another. Where was that somebody that put their arm around Lot and said, "Hey, Lot, this is not right. This is not right. Don't wait to 2 Peter in your life," which is right before the close of the scripture, "before people find out you were saved." Amen. Go all the way from Genesis right up to 2 Peter, and people say, "I wonder if he's saved." One of the hardest things for a preacher to do, and I'm telling you from a pastor now, is to stand over the casket of someone who's gone out into eternity, who claimed to be saved, and all you got to go on is from Genesis to Malachi. They said they were saved. And I thank God for 2 Peter telling us that Lot was saved. I believe saved people ought to live like saved people. Amen. But I also understand sin is our enemy. We all blow it, mess up. What you gonna do? Just quit, give up? Don't do that. Don't do that. The Bible says the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. You flirting with the world? You flirting with some of the things we talked about today? You gotten to the place of where when the preacher preaches against sin and the way that the scripture teaches that you don't want to hear that, you're messing up. Please, let God help you. Let God help you. Let God deliver you. Stay close to God. Maintain that good relationship that's needful. I'm going to ask the pianist to come. These false teachers, they're everywhere. Many, many. That word just keeps being used. Many. Preacher, how are we going to know? Stay in the book. Read your Bible. We teach little children around here, from the time they can talk or stand, read your Bible, pray every day, and you will grow, grow, grow. You never grow out of reading your Bible and praying every day. You never grow out of it. So, well, preacher, I kind of read my Bible now maybe once a week. Let me encourage you to increase that time of reading, or you are going to become a potential dropout and follow false teaching. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Let's bow our heads together. And as we bow our heads, I want you to think for a moment.